Okay, let's dive into the Word of God this morning. And if you're new, we always gather around the Word on a Sunday morning. And we began a new mini-series last Sunday morning, which was entitled Life is a Garden. Life is a Garden. And if you were here last week, we began with a question, which was simply this. If I was to come to your house and look into your garden, what would I see? And we had a couple of pictures. We're actually going to put them up side by side this morning. That for some of you, if I was to come to your house, I would see a garden a little bit like the left-hand side, the abundant, fruitful, really nice-looking garden, that if you had a lawn, it would be beautifully manicured and all that kind of stuff. It would be an amazing garden. For others of you, if I came to your house and looked into your garden, it would look a little bit more like the right-hand side. And it's amazing how many people, I feel like they felt condemned over the week because they were like, yeah, since your message last Sunday, I've sorted out my garden. I'm like, yeah, have you taken the other part of the message? Because the message wasn't actually about gardening, right? Well, hopefully you know that. The message, great if it helped you in your natural garden, that wasn't the point. If you went home and you didn't do anything about your life, but you sorted out the lawn, good on you. You kind of missed the point of the message because the message was about our life. Because I went on to ask the question, if somebody was to look not at your garden, but at your life, what would they see? Would they see a life that is blossoming, a life that is fruitful, a life that is abundant, a life that is life-giving to others? Or would they see a life that right now is empty, barren? In fact, if it's full of anything, it's full of weeds and there's destruction and it needs a lot of work. Here's the good news. We know a Savior who can quickly, in one moment, change from that to that, amen, in terms of our identity. But then there's an outworking of that in our daily lives. And so we started this series last week because sometimes multiplication comes into our lives as a result of us sowing into our future. You see, a fruitful life doesn't just happen. When you look at somebody who's living with the joy of the Lord and they're living a fruitful, abundant life and you say, I wish I had that kind of life, we need to understand that doesn't just happen. It has to be cultivated and allowing the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives. So the reality is, every day that you live, you are either sowing seeds that will bring an incredible harvest, or you're just allowing life to just happen and no doubt weeds are growing up in your life. Or maybe a stage worse, you are sowing things that are going to produce thorns and thistles in your tomorrows. Galatians 6 verse 7, the Bible puts it this way. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will reap. The New Living Translation puts it this way. You will always harvest what you plant. Seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. And so we made the point last week that the life that you're experiencing right now, good and bad, will in part be the result of what you chose to sow in your yesterday. And likewise, if we were to look ahead at our tomorrows, if we were to look ahead at the future of our lives, in part our future will be determined by what we choose to sow into our lives today. So here's what we learnt last week together, and if you weren't around, then as always, the message is available online. We learned that cultivating a fruitful life takes a few things. It takes intentionality, it takes consistency, and it takes time. And we'll be touching on those again today, because this week I want to look at a couple of seeds in our life, our thoughts and our words. Because these seeds that we sometimes view as insignificant, these seeds that we can sometimes overlook, actually have the potential to shape the entire landscape of our lives. And in doing so, we're gonna touch upon something that Mark Ward actually spoke about when he communicated in our summer series of One Another. And he said something along the lines of this, is sometimes we try to fix the fruit when the problem is often in the root. See, sometimes we try and fix the external things of our lives when actually it's something internally that needs to be worked on and changed. So you maybe try to fix the external problem. You try and fix the marriage that's problematic. You try and fix the friendship that is fading. You try and change that destructive habit. You try to change that uncontrollable anger that you are battling with in life. You try and fix an external thing when actually often that's a result of something internal. The thoughts that we've allowed to remain in our mind for too long. The words that we carelessly speak over and over again. And so we can keep trying to fix the external stuff, And we can even try and change the environment in which we are growing. We might change our job, or we may change house and move somewhere else, or we may change relationships, or we may even change church. But the reality is, just like with a natural garden, until you deal with the root, those same weeds will keep returning. Right? If you own a garden, you know what a pain it is to pull up weeds, right? It's not something that's in people's kind of list of hobbies. What do you do? I love pulling up weeds in the garden. It's not something we enjoy. It's just something we have to do. And so what I've taken to doing, if there's weeds on the patio in our back garden, because I'm lazy, I'll just get the strimmer out rather than really dealing with it and just strim the top of the weeds off. And so I walk back and I feel satisfied that I've dealt with them, but the reality is I haven't. Because before long, they reappear. Why? Because I haven't dealt with the root. And so it is in our lives that some of you are dealing with stuff externally, and for a moment you feel like you're chopping away at the weeds in your life only for them to return. So your marriage is better for a few weeks, or you feel less anxious for a month. You feel less anxious just for a month, or you go a few days without giving into that addiction, but before long, you find yourself back to where you first began because you haven't dealt with the roots. That's why in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, Solomon said this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. In other words, everything external, good or bad, will flow from your inner world. So today, let's take some time to look at that. Just two seeds that end up shaping our lives: our thoughts and our words. Let's begin with our thought life. Your thought life, what you choose to think about, what you choose to dwell on, what you choose to believe, is a huge factor in the kind of life you end up living. So when I said at the beginning, what does your mind look like? What does your life look like? Is it like the one on the left or the one on the right? Is it full of weeds, or is it something that's fruitful? The reality is, a lot of that often will be determined by our mindset. It's that important. On any given day, scientists believe that we think between 12,000 and 60,000 thoughts, depending on how many of you are a deep thinker. Just give me a wave if you're a deep thinker here this morning. So you're on the upper end of the scale, and some of you think, I'm a deep thinker because I think deeply about things. Others of you are like, I'm just a deep thinker because I just can't stop this inner thing that's going on in my mind. And so we are always thinking. And I know that we live in an age where whenever it comes to things like teaching on our thought life, there are extremes, right? There's always extremes and pendulum swings, when often the truth is somewhere in the middle. So over here you have this extreme that's taught, and it's very popular in self-help nowadays, that because of this thought that you can just manifest something into your life by thinking about it. And so people will teach you, well, just think it, just think it, just think it, and then it will just, the law of attraction says it will just manifest in your life. Now, here's the reality: it's not true. Because you can say, I believe I can fly, but if you run off a high-rise building, you're going to end up in trouble, right? You can think you've got £1 million in your bank account, and you go, I've got £1 million, and you can even spend like you've got £1 million because your mind has told you, you have £1 million. Guess what? When you load up your banking app, unless you are a millionaire, there's not going to be £1 million in there. We can think all we like. Some of us, myself included, we can try and think that we're not balding, and that the hair is growing on our head, not disappearing. But when we look in the mirror, it's something different, right? That's the reality. You can think yourself into something. It's not going to change. And yet, over here, we have the other extreme that says, well, it doesn't matter what I think, because whatever I think, it doesn't make a difference to my life. It's just thoughts going around in my head. The thoughts that I choose to dwell on don't actually determine my life. And the truth is that it's not the extreme of over here where just think it and it will happen. Neither is it the extreme over here that says it doesn't matter what we think. But here's what the Bible, God's wisdom, says on the subject. Proverbs 23, verse 7. So for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Listen, the person that you are and the life that you live will always originate in what you think. So you think about the garden of your life. The quality of your life will often be determined by the quality of your thoughts. Because as we've said before, it's not who you are that really determines how you live. It's who you think you are that determines how you live. And so you get so many people in life today who have that garden that is full of weeds, full of chaos in their life because they don't understand who they truly are in Christ and they're trying to live in accordance with who they think or other people want them to be. So they wear a mask of, this is who I need to be in order to fit in. This is who I need to be in order to be loved. You get men and women sleeping around with as many different people as possible in order to try and find some sense of self-worth. You find people hooked on drugs or drink or pornography or even things like work or sport as an escapism from who they think they are, all the time not realizing who they truly are. And for some people, changing from one garden to another will come only when they choose to submit their thought life to God and to the Holy Spirit. Again, maybe you look at the garden of your life and all you see are weeds. The weeds of anxiety and fear that just keep growing up in your life. The weeds of constant defeat. The weeds of negative spirals. Listen, God wants to change the pattern of thinking that you have just begun to accept. Now, this isn't a newfangled thing. This isn't like the New Age manifest thing. This is something that the Apostle Paul was writing to churches about thousands of years ago. Listen to this. He wrote to a church in Ephesus, and he wrote them this letter in Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, which obviously he didn't write chapters and verses. That's just for us today to make it easier. But as part of his letter to the church in Ephesus, he said this. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new. Where? Listen to this. In the attitude of your minds. And to put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul says, you know how you're going to change your life? By changing what you sow. By changing and being made new in the attitude of your mind. By changing your thinking. And so we come to what we spoke about last week. It starts with intentionality. If you're just letting thoughts just fly around your head constantly, or you're just allowing yourself to think on negative stuff, or you're going to be in this place where you have to be intentional. But here's the problem. What do you do when a certain way of thinking is so ingrained in your life? What do you do when you feel like you're stuck in this cycle where you've tried to change but you can't change? Let me tell you what we don't do unless we don't want to see any change. We don't say, this is the way I've always thought. There's nothing I can do about it. Right? I talk to people sometimes and talk about their thought life and they say, no, this is just how I am. I've always thought this way. Nothing will ever change. Well, you're right. If you declare that, then nothing will ever change in your life. Or we can see that God's word repeatedly tells us that we can change our life by changing the way that we think. Amen? So it begins with intentionality. 2 Corinthians 10, let's just turn there for a moment. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Paul is writing again, this time to the church in Corinth, and he says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So Paul says there's this certain repeated way of thinking that will leave you trapped. There's this way of thinking that if you allow it to just germinate over and over again, will lead to a whole load of weeds in your life. And he uses this word, it's a stronghold. Now the original word that he used was this word ukuruma, which literally meant this, a fortress or a prisoner. It's a prisoner believing a lie as if it was true. Some of you this morning have come into this place and you're under a stronghold. You have a stronghold in your mind that says, I can never defeat this thing. I'm always going to be chained to this. I'm never going to be accepted. I'm never going to be able to move forward from this addiction. I'm never going to be good at setting boundaries in my life. I'm never going to lose weight, get fit, get out of debt, pass exams, whatever it is. I will never change. This is just the way I am. That is a stronghold. Some of you this morning are under a financial stronghold, where all you ever think about is money. And it's not about whether you have enough of it or not enough of it. It's if you had nothing or if you had £1 million, you would still be thinking about finances because you are under a financial stronghold. Some of you have an addictive or habitual stronghold where there's this repeated pattern of behavior you're trying to be set free from pornography to cigarettes to social media to overeating, whatever it might be. Some of you have a personal stronghold, where in your mind, no matter how many people tell you or how much you hear other people say it about what God thinks about you, you have this stronghold that in your mind you'll never be good enough for other people around you. Some of you have a relational stronghold. And you know this because every time somebody gets close to you, you end up pushing them away. And just when you begin to build up healthy friendships or relationships, you almost self-sabotage because you have a relational stronghold. Some of you have a stronghold of fear and anxiety that has stopped you sleeping properly for months, some of you even years. That stronghold will trap you. That stronghold will hold you back. And ultimately, when you look at your life, all you will see are weeds. So I wonder, what is that for? Or series of thoughts that is leaving you in this place of being in a stronghold. Paul says we'll only see change when we start to be intentional, when we stop just letting it happen in our life and we have some intentionality. See, it starts by thinking about what you're thinking about. Right, so often, how many of you, I'm with you, so often we just let thoughts fly around our head and we don't actually stop and think, what is it I'm actually thinking about? It's a strange thing to think about what you're thinking about. But Paul says, that's how it starts. We become intentional about our thought life. And when we become aware of a pattern of thinking that is contrary to the truth of God's word, Paul says we take those thoughts captive before those thoughts take us captive. It's our choice. Will we choose to take them captive or will we be captive to them? Now, the reality is you can only do this when you actually know the truth, right? It's easy to say, know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, if we don't know the truth, then we can't replace the lie with the truth. That's why the Bible cannot remain a self-help book that you go to every few months when you A, feel guilty, or B, need a pick-me-up. The Bible needs to be the daily truth that we're bringing into our life, because let me tell you, every single day you will have a bombardment of lies against your life. And then we think, I'll just dip into my Bible every few weeks. And I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. I'm saying it to wake us all up, that we will have this constant bombardment of lies from the enemy into our lives. And if we don't read the truth of God's word, will never be set free from those strongholds. So we need to know God's truth that counteracts the lie. And here's where we get to the second key from last week: consistency. Consistency. Because I'm not talking about doing this for one day and then everything changes, right? Let's be real. Some of us have been under strongholds for years. There were some strongholds in my life that I'd been under for years. One day, I'll have a better day, but it's not going to change my life. Because there's been this repeated pattern of thinking. But here's what I'm talking about. Purposely and continually doing this over a period of time. That's where our third key comes in. Time from last week. But as you do this repetitively and consistently, here's what the Bible and modern science will teach you. You will renew your mind. Amen? You know, for years, scientists said, well, the brain is just stuck. It cannot change. After a certain amount of time, the brain is just formed, and then there's nothing that you can do about it. And then they discovered this word that I can never say, neuroplasticity. Oh, yes. Come on. Really? Neuroplasticity. There we go. Twice. Pitter-patter. Thank you, Lord. You're proud of me. Okay. That word. But often I can't say, it's that biological process of rewiring the brain. But essentially said this, that through repetition and consistency, what happens is you stop and you break the pattern of thinking where your thought life has been going in a certain direction. Those paths aren't tread anymore and they close up and suddenly new paths will be opened. Now that's great. I'm glad they spent a lot of money on that, researching all of that so that everyone can feel great about it. But all they had to do was open up their Bibles to Romans chapter 12, because the Apostle Paul, thousands of years before, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said this: you can renew your mind and transform your life by changing the way that you think. So I'm glad modern science has discovered to back up the word of God that the Apostle Paul thousands of years ago was already saying this. You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformation, the original word, was talking about a complete and utter change. It's the kind of transformation you get from a caterpillar to a butterfly. In other words, your life can completely change when you change the thoughts that you are daily sowing into your mind. And over time, as you do this consistently, over and over and over again, and you replace the lie with the truth, that's why the Bible is so important. As you replace the lie with the truth, you will be transformed. Amen? What's the weed that is in your life right now? Let's look at a few. Maybe you think, well, I'm rejected and I'm wanted. The Bible says you've been adopted into God's family and you are chosen by him, that before he laid the foundations of the earth, he had chosen you. Maybe that weed that keeps appearing is that you were a mistake that you weren't meant to be. Well, the Bible says in Psalm 139 that God formed you in your mother's womb, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Maybe that lie is that you're dirty or you're shameful, when the Bible declares over your life today that you are forgiven and you are justified and you are redeemed. Maybe that lie is that the past will always haunt you and it will stop you from being used. Well, the Bible says that you're now a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That his grace is sufficient over your life. Say, so, yeah, but I'm worthless. Well, the Bible says that you were bought at a price. That price being the blood of Jesus Christ, that you belong to the God Almighty. Yeah, but I've always been addicted. The Bible says that you have been given divine power to demolish strongholds. Yeah, I get that, but I'm reliant on sleeping around or alcohol or possessions or wealth or momentary highs in order to feel good. No, the Bible speaks the truth that you are complete in Christ and that you lack nothing, that you are seated in the heavenly realms with him this morning. The Bible, people say, well, I'll never achieve. I'll always be held back by fear. The Bible declares over your life, you don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And God working through you is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above all that we dare to dream or imagine. Yeah, but I'm powerless over the enemy and everything that he throws our way. The Bible says that the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen? And when you reject the lie and you replace it with the truth, not just once, because this is the problem. That's why we come to church and we think, oh, yeah, God. Or we go to a conference. Yeah, God, you've shown me that. Some of you men, we went away to the men's getaway a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, God, you've done so much. And yet we go back and it isn't built upon. You need consistent change. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Because we don't want to just teach theory. We want to teach the practice of this because we want people truly being set free. Here's what I want you to do starting this week. Begin to think about what you're thinking about. And when you have that repeated pattern of thinking that you identify, this isn't, I don't believe this is what God would say about me. I don't believe this thought that's germinating in my mind has taken me in a good direction in my life. Here's what I then want you to do. For some of you, you need to write down that lie. Because you need to see it before your eyes and see it for what it is. Get it from here to paper where you see that lie for what it is. And here's what I then want you to do. I want you to go and find some truth or several truths in the Word of God. Maybe you're new to church, new to the Bible. Speak to a friend. Speak to your Connect group leader. Come and speak to one of the pastoral team. We will get you some truths to counteract the lies that you have been building. And as you replace the roots, and as you take out the weed, and you begin to plant new seed in that place over and over again. And as you commit to doing this over and over, listen, it takes time, it takes patience, as we spoke about last week. As you make yourself accountable to somebody, your mind will begin to be renewed. And you will have divine power to demolish strongholds in your life. Now, don't get me wrong, God does this on day one. The very day that you are saved, you have a new identity in him. You're not trying to make yourself something. You're allowing your mind to catch up with what's already happened. because there's been so much bombardment on your mind that we think a certain way. And even though we're saved and we're brand new, we have a brand new identity, on the day that you are saved, you are sanctified, free, forgiven, every single thing that you may need. He gives it to you on that day. But then it takes a lifetime of outworking what God has done. Take your thoughts captive. And as you do, the truth will pull up the weeds and begin to plant new things in the garden of your life. Let's look at the second seed, our words. Now again, when it comes to our speech, we have extremes in this. So we have an extreme over here, often taught in faith circles, that says you just name it and claim it. Name it and claim it and it will happen. And so we shy away from that often for good reason, but often we go to the other extreme that says, well, it doesn't matter what we say, the words that come out of our mouth have no effect on the quality of our life, when actually the Bible, again, is somewhere in the middle. It says, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. There is power in your tongue, right? If you don't have dirty hands, just hold your tongue for a moment. I'm not going to make you do anything. Just hold your tongue. There is power in that tongue. 10 centimeters, it may not come out very far, especially if you're tongue-tied like me. And some of you know the story that recently I went to, well, in May when I was ill, I went to the doctor and she put that wooden thing, whatever it's called, what's it called? Spatula. And she put it on my tongue and she said, push your tongue out. I was like, I am. And she's like, no, do it properly. I was like, I am, I'm tongue-tied. And she was like, oh, that's awkward. But whether you're tongue-tied or not, that tongue has power. That tongue has ability. Now, here's the reality. Just like any power tool, if we don't know how to use it, if we don't know how to control it, it does a lot of damage. That's why you don't give a chainsaw to a toddler. Amen? Right, Chris? You don't give a chainsaw to a toddler unless Chris is with them and watching over them. You don't do it if you're like, oh, that's where I've been going wrong. You don't give a chainsaw to a toddler because it is too much power. And so although we don't subscribe to the name it and claim it theory and the mantra, it is true that the life that we live will so often be shaped by the words that we speak. Some of you, as you look at the garden of your life today, you see it's a mess because you've been using this power tool in a way that destroying so much around you. We highlighted how many thoughts we think. Statistically, on average, we'll speak 16,000 words a day. Some of you speak a lot less. Some of you, not looking in any particular direction, speak a whole lot more than that, but I'll leave you to decide where you are. Over your lifetime, you spend a fifth of your life talking. Some of you, again, a little bit more than a fifth of your life talking. But the writer of Proverbs says, the words that we speak have power. And you can use those words to speak life or to speak death, to speak encouragement or discouragement, to build up or to tear down. It's our choice. So I wonder, what are the words that you're sowing into your life? Are you somebody who's sowing encouragement or are you sowing gossip? Are you sowing criticism or maybe you're sowing joy? Are you sowing faith or are you sowing constant swear words and smutty jokes? Are you speaking wisdom or are you speaking constant fear and anxiety? What words are you sowing and what are they producing? James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this brilliantly practical letter to the early church. If you've never read the book of James and you're new to the Bible, it's a great practical letter that is written. And within it, he makes this point that a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And then he says, likewise, when we speak, it may just be a couple of words, but it has the ability to do so much damage in lives. Think about it. How many arguments continue because somebody wants to have the last word? How many arguments began because of a stupid comment made that you wish you hadn't made? How much gossip begins because somebody is careless with their words? How many marriages end up in chaos because all hell broke loose? Sometimes the way that we speak can almost cause all hell to break loose. The tongue is a power tool, and when used wrongly, it can cause so much destruction and create so many weeds in our life. So what's the remedy here? Well, again, we start off with intentionality. right? We become intentional about the words that we speak. Here's some quick advice and wisdom from the Word of God. First thing, we must become slow with our words. How many of you have ever regretted saying something because you spoke too quickly, right? How many of you wish that your filter was a little bit better at times and stopped you speaking before you genuinely thought about it? Okay, just leave me up here on my own, right? Okay, thanks very much. Come on, we've all had moments where we spoke before we truly thought about the things that we were saying. Listen to James's advice. James 1:19 says, understand this, let everyone be quick to hear, quick to listen. Be a careful, thoughtful listener. Be slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words. We'll come back to that in a moment. And slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving. I love the way James puts that, and the Amplified brings it out. It's just amazing. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. And then Proverbs 21:23, this is a more blunt version. It says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. That's a verse I sometimes give to those getting married. Proverbs 21:23, watch your tongue, keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. But how many times do we create trouble in our world because we don't think about the words that we speak? So when it comes to the words that we speak, let's be slow to speak them. Let's be people who, with the Holy Spirit's help, think before we speak. And then when we do speak, here's some more advice, and this was covered in James 1:19. Let's be careful with our words. All right, remember, the tongue is a power tool. And so you have the ability, when you think about a natural garden, you could go into that garden with that power tool and you could do one of two things. You could create and landscape something amazing, or else if you don't know how to control it or you just go in there without any sense of purpose, you could completely wreck everything that is in your garden. It's the same tool, but the key is how you use it. The same with our words. Ephesians 4:29, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Proverbs 12:18, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Slow with our words, careful with our words, and finally, truthful with our words. We've got to be truthful with our words. Psalm 19:14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I want you to think for a moment in the garden of your life. How are you on a daily basis using this power tool called the tongue? Because the garden of your life is being shaped by the words that you speak. And if you want a better marriage, if you want greater friendships, if you want to change the culture of, I don't know, your home, your workplace, maybe even your connect group, if you want to pull up some weeds and see some change, then maybe it begins with our thoughts, but also flows to our words, that we would be slow to speak, careful to speak, and also truthful with our words. Let's bring this in this morning. Chris, you can come up, please. We're going to bring this in for a close. The world will always try to bring weeds into your garden. You notice that? It doesn't take any effort. When you just neglect your life and are not intentional about the life that God has given you to live, weeds will grow in your life. If you think about a natural garden, you just leave it, weeds will grow. So it is with your life. If you're not intentional, then the weeds of bitterness or resentment, fear or comparison, jealousy, distraction, unforgiveness, negativity, just a few, those are weeds that can grow in your life. But here's the good news, that God, through the Holy Spirit, can help you with your thoughts and with your words. And as you become intentional about the words that you speak and the thoughts that you think, they can become some of the greatest weed killers in your life. Life is a garden. And a fruitful life doesn't just happen. As we said earlier, if you leave stuff to their own devices, things only ever get worse. We need to be people who are intentional about what God has done. We need to be people who are intentional about the life that he has given to us. You know, Psalm 139 says that every day of our life was written before one of them came to be. that he has given us this life on the earth to live, and it's up to us what we do with it. Don't let life just happen. Cultivate the life that God has for you to live. So starting this week, here's what I want us to do. Firstly, be intentional about your thought life and your speech. And as we said, don't just do it for one day, but remain committed to it. That you would say, God, would you help me with my thoughts? Would you help me with my words? You say, well, I can't do anything about the words. They just stumble out my mouth. No, Jesus said, what we speak is an overflow of the heart. And so for some of us, it's dealing with our heart, because if words of anger are constantly coming out, it displays an angry heart. If words of criticism are constantly coming out of your mouth, it displays a critical and bitter and jealous heart within you. Listen to the words that you are speaking, and they will be a reflection of the heart that you are carrying. So be intentional. Be consistent. You say, oh, I thought a different way for 3 days. It didn't really make much change. No, no, no. Remember what we spoke about last week. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Remember the mustard seed, for Jesus said it begins so small, and yet it can change so much. Don't view this as insignificant. And as you give it time, the Holy Spirit will in your life be pulling up those weeds. Be not just chopping them off for them just to return, but God wants to do heart surgery within us. God wants to deal with the root of what we are carrying, that we would be people who the weeds of our life are pulled up and new things are planted for his glory. Amen. Is that helpful this morning? Let's just close our eyes. Let's just pray as we finish our service this morning. And as we do each week, I want to give an opportunity this morning for anybody who's never given their lives to Jesus to make that decision today. You know, the Bible talks about some of the most powerful words that we can speak. But it says that when we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, when we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we truly mean it, we will be saved. For the way that we are saved is not through our performance and our achievement, but by believing in what Jesus has done for us. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you wandered away from him, we're going to pray a prayer. Let's all pray this prayer. Just repeat after me, church. Heavenly Father, I believe that you have a plan for my life and have made me for a purpose. The most important purpose of my life is to be in relationship with you, my Creator and my Father. I know that sin has damaged that relationship, but I also believe that Jesus came into this broken world, lived a perfect life, and then died on a criminal's cross. He was buried in a tomb and rose from the dead 3 days later, defeating sin and defeating death once and for all. Father, forgive my past. Wash me clean. Make me brand new. I give you my future. Amen. You keep your eyes closed. If that's you, you prayed that prayer and you meant it. You didn't just say it because I said say it. You meant it from the bottom of your heart. And you prayed that prayer for the very first time. Or maybe you're coming back into relationship with God and saying, God, I need to reset some stuff in my life. I want you to do something so very simple, but very brave. And I promise I won't embarrass you, but I want to be able to pray for you and rejoice for you in this moment. So if that's you, would you just raise your hand in this moment just so I can see it? Thank you. Anybody else? You say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. People responding to the grace of God, this gift, this invitation this morning. Father, we rejoice. We thank you for what you are doing in people's lives this morning. Father, thank you that you welcome those who are far away from you. And for those this morning who have raised their hand and made that decision, Lord, I thank you that they will know you as the one true God, the one who was and is to come, the one who is close to them, the one who wants relationship with them. And Father, I just thank you that the seed that they have sown today will reap an incredible harvest in this moment and in the days and years to come. Father, for every single one of us, may we be intentional this week about our thoughts and our words. Heavenly Father, help us that this wouldn't just be a Sunday morning talk, but this would be a Monday morning, Wednesday evening, Friday afternoon reality in our lives, that day by day we would be conformed to the image of Christ. Father, I thank you that over the coming weeks and months and years, people are going to be set free from strongholds. Father, I thank you that sometimes you do it in an instant, but you also cause us to renew our minds on a day-to-day basis. So Father, for everybody who steps into the battlefield this coming week, Father, I thank you that they have the sword of the Spirit. They have your truth to change things in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.